And also this Wednesday night, ladies, you start your seamless Bible study both in person and online with Tricia here at the church or online. And then also men, Fatherhood for Life starts this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and it's also either here in person or online, so you can connect to it either way. And that's for fathers of any age. I used Dave in first service as an example, and he told me yesterday he's kind of like, you know, Carly is done and gone, and yet we know that's not true. And so we know that once you're a parent, you're a parent for life. Yes. Okay. So we still call on our parents, and we know that when they pass on, that's hard no matter the age. And so we rely on our parents. And so we're going to go not just in current fatherhood, as in the home, but even further than that. And if you're going to be a dad. And so I'd encourage you to come and be a part of that this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Everybody doing okay? Are you all good online? Are you sharing, liking, participating? Or maybe you've said, I'm out of here because pastor's up, but that's all right too. And so we're just glad to have you this morning. And I'm excited about the word today. And I believe that God has just really spoken to my heart. And I am excited to share with you what it is that God spoke through the words of John. And so if you've got your Bibles, if you would, turn to 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And if you would, when you have that, whether you're here or at home, if you would stand for the reading of God's word. Now, most of you that are the good Sunday school Christians, you've already read this, and so you're ahead of the game. And as I've encouraged you to read 1 John, it only has 5 chapters, but it helps you kind of know where we're going and what's happening. But starting in verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Right there, church, get it. He is speaking to what? The brothers and sisters in Christ. This is not going to people who don't know God. He's saying, hey, you know God, and we've got to get some things straight. We've got to work on some things. I'm seeing things. God is speaking to my heart, and I need you to understand. And so know here, and this is hard to understand, because when we get to the what kind of breaks us up as Christians, you're going to see what I mean in a minute. We've got to know that he's speaking to brothers and sisters who are found in Christ. Know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according, think about that, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Now, this is where most pastors say, well, why don't you end there and not do this next passage? Well, we're going to go for it today. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, so there are some sins that don't lead to death. Not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. God, today, wherever we are, whether we're here, whether we're at home, whether we're at work, God, I pray today that you would just speak to us. God, let your word genuinely come in and do a work. Let us go out ready to experience your word. God, let us go out prepared to really enact and fulfill and be the presence of your presence. And so, God, today, speak to us. We come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we pray right now, Lord, that your holiness, that your spirit would move in and amongst us. And God, today, we give this time to you. Today, we ask that you would just speak through me. Let these words be your words. And God, we trust and love you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, now remember, like first service, skip through that first slide there. I want you to get this, and I want you to really hold on to this, okay? John was living proof. Now, most of us want what? Come on now, we want proof, don't we? I would hope so. I think in the day and age that we live in, we cannot just receive everything as truth. We have got to be diggers, meaning we dig for truth. We want to make sure that we understand truth. And John understood the truth of Jesus Christ. Think about this. He puts himself in that group of having seen, heard, felt, touched, experienced the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about in the scripture in 1 John 1:3. What we have seen, When you see something, what? You experience it, right? So John is telling us in 1 John, he's saying, hey, these are things that I've seen. I am a firsthand, wake up, because I'm like in a mood, so I need you to participate with me, right? He's a firsthand witness. He is saying to us, I have proof. I know, I've seen, I've lived, I've experienced. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. Meaning he's not taking his truth and proclaiming it. He is saying, I am taking what I have seen from Jesus and I am proclaiming it to you. I'm not taking John and proclaiming it to you. I'm taking Jesus and I am giving you the proof that I saw, that we saw and witnessed together. Think about the proof here. Now, many of you would know of him as kind of being included in that Sons of Thunder. Don't you like that name, like Sons of Thunder? Isn't there a movie, Sons of Thunder? It's like a race car movie. Days of Thunder. I don't know if that's good or not. It was a long time ago. But anyway, don't go home and watch it. I couldn't say if it was biblical or not. But anyway, Sons of Thunder. What would you think of when you say Sons of Thunder? Well, man, he was on fire, right? There was something behind his words. They experienced something, and they were living it out. In fact, he says in the scripture, we, which includes the others, he was all about giving the testimony of Jesus, not of himself. And here we see that there's a zeal in his words. There's a zeal in his writings. He was also standing against false teaching. Why? Because he saw the reality. He saw the realness of Jesus. He understood. And when we really get John, we know that he lived what? He lived the longest. We've said that a couple of times. Most of you know that, and you've understood that since Sunday school. We also know that he was reassuring, think about it, the believers, that through Christ, we have eternal life. And church, I believe that that's something that we have to hold on to. I think we have to speak it more. I think we have to talk about it more. I think we have to begin to say, this is our goal, this is where we're headed, and we want to engulf people with us and get there. Why? Because we've experienced it for ourselves. John, he was writing to people who were struggling. And if you're not struggling today, then you are in a good place. But if you're struggling today, this is going to be an encouragement, a challenge to you this morning. We also know why. And we're looking at the background here. You know, why did God use John? Well, John had a zeal. Not only did he have experience, not only did he have his hands and his feet and his whole being in this, he had a zeal about it. What he saw caused him to be excited. Let me just ask you, as you experience Christ, is it causing you to have a zeal that other people witness, see, experience, touch? That was the kind of guy that we're looking at today. We also know, when you look at the background of John in this particular passage, he had a passion for the truth. And to him, Jesus equal sign truth, okay, or truth equaled Jesus. He related the two. That was his truth. That's what he held on to. That was who he was speaking about. In fact, he said it so much that between he and Jesus, they spoke the truth about the same amount. That tells us that John was passionately going after the truth of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he experienced it himself. So let me ask you a question. You ever hear that saying, the proof is in the pudding? Yes, that's a great saying, isn't it? The proof is in the pudding. And why did they say that saying? Well, you know, you can look at something, right? And thanks to Amy Tesher, she put this together for me. It's a little surprise for all of you. Wait a minute. It's a surprise for me, but not for you. Because there's not enough to go around. And so there's a lot of proof in the pudding. Now, you can look at this pudding, right? It looks beautiful, doesn't it? I said this in first service. And when you open it, it's even prettier. Look at that. Can the camera get on that? Yes. I mean, it doesn't even move. That means she made it right. You know what I'm saying? You know, like when Dairy Queen, should I try that? Probably not. Okay. You know, Dairy Queen flips the blizzard over and it, I won't do that today. So anyway, a lot of times when we look at something, and I use Pizza Hut, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this online, but I read an article about the glue they use in their what do you call that, commercials, and so that when they pull the cheese away that it looks really, but that's actually glue and cheese mixed together, and so now you know that secret. So you're not really sure what I'm experiencing, but let me tell you that I'm going to describe it to you. There is a wafer here that's chilled like perfectly. Now, you know, there's that banana flavor. That's the fake banana flavor and the real, you know, like the lollipop banana flavor. Let's see if it's that. It's real. It's real. Mm. Oh, there's a banana. See, that's real, right? You know that. That is not fake or produced in. Mm. Oh, man, this is my favorite. That's why I chose this. Oh, no. No. See, the problem is that a lot of times we watch others experience things. Let me share with you here, if you would take that, put that away. Amy, thank you. Man, when you, I have a little surprise for you, though, at the end. You're going to see. I'm not going to leave you hanging today. It's going to be something to help you remember. But I want you to know that there's something about the proof in the pudding. There was something about the life of John that was significant. What was significant was that he saw, touched, heard, walked with, experienced. Church, here's the thing. Man, it's in my mouth now, and I want more. It's like, you know, when you start, it's like when you eat the first Lay's chip, you just cannot stop. So anyway, Brian, if you could bring, no, I'm just kidding. I want you to think about this, and this is what I want you to remember all through today's message. I pray for this, and I say this, and there's a couple of different examples I want to give this afternoon or this morning, is that I pray for my kids that one day they will go from having daddy's faith to my faith. Church, that's got to be the greatest prayer that we have as parents, as grandparents, as friends, for loved ones. There's family members that I pray for, that I hope for, that I want one day for them to personally hold on to what I personally hold on to. Because see, the problem is when you hold on to somebody else's faith, you only get to see it and you only get to believe what you don't actually get to experience it. Let's be real. That could have been just vanilla pudding with yellow food coloring, right? That could have been gluten-free wafers instead of real. I mean, you just don't know. At home, we have gluten-free, so they didn't. They were not gluten-free. They were good. But think about it. What's happening here is that John was watching. He was seeing. He was understanding that people were not holding on to their own experience. They were holding on to the experiences of the false, what? Teachers. And that is dangerous because it's secondhand and it's not from the source. And what he was saying is, church, we have the source. You can experience the source. The source sent the helpmate to. So let's talk about a couple of things this morning. Experience. The kind of experience here that John was talking about, it was like a joyful experience. Now, many of you do things and you're not necessarily joyful about them, right? Y'all, you got to talk to me today because I'm not in that kind of place. Like, I want to run down there with you and just think about it. There are things that, like, my daughter brings up, and I'm like, well, honey, I love you, and I want to play with you, and I want to do that, but I'm not doing that. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to experience that. And then when I do it because I love her, and I'm not fully into it, and so I just do it, and she says, well, Daddy, you don't have to. What happened? She recognized that I didn't really want to what? Do it. John was looking out and saying, wait a minute. Like, we just had a Holy Spirit movement, and you sat back like a. See, when we talk about the kind of experience that John is speaking about, I write these things to you who believe in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to talk about it wasn't just about believing. If you translate it, he's talking about joyfully, cheerfully embracing and experiencing God's will, God's presence, God's. He's talking about such a joy and such a cheerfulness in it. That you just accept it, like promptly, you move right into it. I don't know if that describes your faith, but when God speaks and you, do you just, there's three things in this part of it when you think about experience. John was very specific in saying it meant to know. Now, last week we said that you can what? You can know, but if you have knowledge from the word without the spirit brought together, you only have $10 instead of $20. You can only spend 10 instead of 20. If you've got the truth and the spirit put together, you've got something worth living for. If you have truth, if you've got the knowledge of the word without the spirit, you are only living half of what the Lord has for you. And see, what John is saying here is that if you really know, then you're going to know through your experience. See, now he's expanding it and saying it's not just about knowing the knowledge and the Spirit being with it. Then when the Spirit speaks to it, you've got to go experience it. Meaning what I'm telling you from the eyewitness, now you've got to go be the eyewitness. It's talking about this knowledge that's continual. It's talking about knowledge through the senses. He was talking about a whole body experience. He was saying, like, you're getting on the roller coaster and you're going to experience all of the ups and downs. And that's what Janae and I discussed a lot. She says, when I'm old enough, are you going to be willing to? And I'm like, no. Like, I can't, my head, I'm dizzy. I just can't do roller coasters. But she is already encouraging me to. And think about this, too. He was talking about the wonder. Now, we talk about the wonder and the splendor very little, but yet in the Word, it talks about the wonder of God, the splendor of God often. John was saying there is a wonder about God that unless you start experiencing it, you aren't going to get it. Unless you start stepping into it, that wonder, which translates into awe, meaning you're going to be in awe of what God is doing in and through you. But see, when we don't experience, we don't have that. He's also talking about being in partnership with the Son of God. So we're kind of on this journey from knowing in spirit to knowing in spirit and experiencing brings us into partnership with God. So in order to experience, we have to know. And what do you know today? We can also lose it. Now, we're going to start to step into this and make some of you good old Nazarenes a little nervous. Or if you're from the holiness tradition, you're getting a little nervous here because there are some issues in this. And we can lose through experience as well. Why do you think that the enemy calls us into action? The enemy does not just call us into temptation, does not just drag us in, does not prod us for no reason. The enemy wants us to be drawn into an experience. Sin is usually an experience that includes our senses. It's why John is speaking here to the senses, because he needs to get to the whole person, because people were stepping away. People were saying, oh, well, then I can experience this, and I can experience this, and I can still have God. And John was saying, yeah, in some respects. See, sin's an experience. What happens is that it is the loss of all except the body and possessions. It is the loss of God's rest. I just can tell you that when you're at peace with God, you rest better. But here it actually means a person at rest, meaning you're at peace because you're above your situation, you're above what's going on. Why? Because God has lifted you up. It's why when you sit in the hospital bed or you get the diagnosis, you're not happy about it, but you're able to rise above it because you're not rising above it. God is lifting you up because you're connected and you're experiencing Him. And so all of a sudden, but what happens is when we step into sin, we lose God's rest and we replace it with worry. And John was saying, we can't do that. It is a behavior that decreases the opportunity from escape. God gives us escape from what the enemy is putting us in. And sometimes, church, we don't have a choice. When that diagnosis comes along, we have no choice but to rely on God. And guess what he wants to do? It's also an entanglement with the corruption of the world. And so when we talk about experiencing God, we have to know, but we can also lose it through sin. So what does it mean to sin? So here's the struggle. And so you all already know where this is headed. And it says in here, and John is speaking. And remember, John's an eyewitness to who? Jesus. And so he speaks this truth. And so we know that he's saying there's some sin that leads to, like, death, meaning separation from eternity. And then there's some sin that leads to just, like, not having God's best for you. Now what does all this mean? Where are we at here? Well, the problem is in the language, he's talking to the brothers and sisters in the faith, so we can't go with the one theology that says, hey, you know what? They never really had an experience. No, John is saying they did have an experience. They do know. And then that goes along with what? The prodigal son, when we look at that parable, it goes along with the fact that Jesus didn't run out the fence and go chasing down. He said, I've given you all I have. You know all I am, and you left anyway, so I'm going to wait at the pen until you get back. See, we want to say that God was throwing stuff out for the gate. God was waiting because that person knew and was waiting for him to come back because he knew he had full knowledge. He left with the full knowledge. He left with all that. So think about this here. This is hard. Genuine believers can sin. And you say, well, what do you mean? I don't get this. Well, you know what? Some of you got an attitude that Christ didn't give you and that Christ didn't want for you. And then Christ didn't want for your neighbor, your spouse, your kid, your... Now, does that mean you're not going to go to heaven? I don't believe it. There's a lot of people that messed up church over the years, and I don't mean this church, just church in general, with their attitudes because they spoke them out loud and didn't put them under the blood. And John was looking at people just like that saying, you know what? You're messing the church up. And the church is what? Translated Jesus Christ. They actually meant messing Jesus Christ up. Dangerous place to be. But then there's some sin where God is saying, buddy, you know, I know, we know, we're in this together, like you're hearing my voice, and I don't want you to go outside of the, because I can't go out there with you because I'm here offering you, and if you go, and that's the kind of, when you willingly, are y'all confused? No? Okay. Let's talk about the break. So sin does what? Well, it does a couple of things. It breaks things. Do you like broken things? When you have kids, it is like forever something broken, right? I don't understand it. I went one time, I was so aggravated, and because I felt like every day I was replacing batteries, and I said, so honey, the Lowe's had the after Thanksgiving sale on batteries, and so we got a whole bunch of batteries, and I changed 83 batteries. And so, I know, isn't that crazy? But I changed everything, even things that I was a little bit like, I changed it all. If it was working, I'd change it because I wanted it all on the same date. Because I thought in my mind, then every 3 months I could, well, that didn't work because they don't use half the toys and half they do. And so it didn't work out that way. And now I'm back to like, you know, every day, this one doesn't work. And so, and don't you love the dolls where you have to actually pull the pack out and then somehow get it back in and they squeak or squeal. And anyway, just imagine like in the middle of the night, you still have the sound machine on and you've got the, what's that thing called? The monitor. And we still use them. They're almost four. But anyway, and it starts like squealing or crying. And I'm like, what is that? It's a creepy little baby in their bed crying because they rolled on it and pushed the button. And you know, she can tell the difference. I can't. So moms have that I don't. I think everybody's crying. So, but think about this. There's a break. Sin, there just is a natural break when we step into sin. And what happens? All of a sudden, God's presence does what? It can't. The room is gone. So the room for him and that to be together, something's got to move out of the way. And so the presence of God moves. And what happens after the presence of God? Well, then all of a sudden, you give in to the sin will instead of the God will. It just is reality. I could stand here and confess to you, as John is encouraging us to do in the church, of sins I've done in the past. And when I stepped into those, the will of the sin became the priority, not God's will. And so when the presence of sin comes in, then we allow it to be a part of who we are. We are stepping away from the will of the Father. And then all of a sudden, the strength, the rest that God's given us, we forfeit that so we can receive the strength from the sin. Very simple. If you take an ingredient that is key, like baking soda or baking powder, out of a recipe, even the replacements that they give you for it are not the same. Sin is something that leads to death. Now here he says, well, some of it leads to death, as in you're not going to have the best, the fullness of who God is. And then some of it leads to the death of complete separation. Think about this kind of sin. It's persistent. It's obstinate. It's deliberate, cold-blooded, wide open, and purposeful. Sin has a purpose because the enemy has a purpose for you. Think about when it gets really dangerous. It gets really dangerous when someone persists in that sin. And then when they start to rejoice in it, and then they all of a sudden have no regret, and they begin to glory, celebrate, gain from, and delight in. Well, those are all things that God gives us, right? He wants us to rejoice in him experience him, glory in him, celebrate in him, gain from him, delight in him. See how it's a replacement, because sin has a will, God has a will, and they contradict. And see, John was struggling because he was seeing things. In verse 16, we see, if anyone sees, obviously he had seen things. He's saying, hey, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. Now, so what is John talking about here? Well, he's talking about that there's only one way to like rid this. People were listening to things, listening to people, listening to false teachers that were not speaking truth. Church, we're all around it. And I know, and I know that you think I'm crazy, and I don't have Facebook, so they can't block me or stop me, but I can still speak here, and they can't stop me here. And that is that there's a lot of truth in social media that isn't truth. There's a lot of truth in social media that's pulling you away. What's happening is that it is helping us develop a platform, develop a place to openly share our truth that isn't the truth of the gospel. Now think about this. What he was saying here is that in order to deal with this, in order to ratify this, in order to get past it, there's two things. This is simple, right? We've known this in Sunday school, right? It is repentance and confession. And he was saying we need to pray for that amongst the brothers and sisters of Christ. Repentance and confession. Now, I say this, and I don't like to say what they would say, but I promise you, if John were here today and he was able to speak to us today, you in 2 minutes would be saying, where's Pastor? Get him back here. This is all I can write. Because John had what? He had a zeal. He had a passion. He had a fervency, and he didn't mince words. When you get into the translation of this, and if he were to speak it to you in the way he meant it, we would all be sweating because of our attitudes, our heart condition, our minds, our past, we would be sweating. Because John would present this much stronger than I am. Why? Because John had a zeal for people to receive life. And what was happening is that people were leading down the path of death. And you say, well, why is he so, you know, he kind of ends it kind of rough. And that's true. You know what, though? There's a stopping place with God. All through Scripture, there are stopping places. Think about Abraham and God. Abraham wanted to see Sodom what? He wanted to see them come around. He wanted, hey, find me 10. I mean, we know what the Scripture says. And at some point, God says, they're so far gone, they're not. I'm sorry. I mean, I hate to break it to you, but there isn't a. And you know what? Brothers and sisters can go far away too. And man, today, the call is to experience Jesus in such a way that you don't want to experience anything else, that you don't want to look to that and say, let's come to the ending here. Got a little slow, sorry. So we've been talking about, you know, we are conquerors, and John is so good at telling us and teaching us and showing us, and from his experience leading us into understanding that we have to have experience in order to really experience the fullness of God. Think about Matthew 7:6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, I love this because we have two crazy puppies that are like not shaved right now and look like woolly mammoths. I mean, they're humongous right now, yet they only weigh about 7 pounds, but they look like they weigh 30 pounds right now. But I'm telling you, we made a bad decision with our dogs. And it's hard for us to understand this, but we made a bad decision. They were at the end of the bed when they were puppies in their little, you know, what are they called, pet beds or whatever. And I just couldn't handle the whining, like the whimpering, and like you'd send them back, they'd jump up, send them back. And it wasn't, but did I last a day? probably not even a day. I said, just let him in the bed. And so that's not good for a lot of reasons. But one reason is they go from this big to this big. Does that make sense? And so every night they lay completely on my side. Last night I woke up to one having a dream and kicking me in my side. And I was dreaming about being kicked. And I woke up and I was being kicked. And I was like, oh gosh, these dogs. Why did I ever? Now we could never, because they've gotten used to this, right? It's like, you know, you can't go backwards. And so here we are in it. We're living in it, and I can say every day, don't we? It is a discussion every day that we wake up sore. Now, that might be old age, but it could be the dogs. We're blaming on the dogs, and so, because it's only been this last year, and we're both in our 40s, so I think things change, but we blame it on the dogs. But I want you to think here on this scripture. It's hard for us because we don't really get this, but what he was saying is that dogs aren't going to understand what I've got. They're not going to understand what you're... Think about this for a second. In order to be a conqueror, we have to experience. God is throwing stuff at us, and some of us are letting it go to waste. That's what the scripture is telling us here. John's saying God is like throwing out his spirit. He's throwing out these experiences, and it's like they're just going over and beside you and beside you, and you're not. Well, I mean, yeah, you had to move to the side to receive it, but why won't you just... Think about the second thing, conquerors, sin that leads to death. Some of us are weak. We're weak conquerors because we have sin, but we don't have the sin that leads to death. We have that persistent sin, that attitude that just keeps rising back up, that thought that just keeps rising back up. And what happens is we become captives to that instead of captives to the freedom that God wants to bring. It just leads to lack of experience. And then what it does is it waters down our witness. Think about this. If we want to be a conqueror, we understand our reward. Our reward is not here. I mean, it is nice to receive from here. It is nice to have a compliment. I'm not denying that. But when we live for that, then we're denying him. We've got to know our reward. I often think of the people that we don't see that right now are doing what? They're serving in these hallways. Charlotte's class, Gray's class, there are people in there week in and week out that you never even hardly see because they go in there in the morning and they leave after you all are gone, and we don't even know, right, that they're up there doing it because they're just doing it. And I know them, and they're looking to their reward in. And that's what John was saying. Experience, live with. Conquerors have a couple of things. They have experiences that are genuine and life-giving. They're not looking and observing. They're digging in. Conquerors have an understanding that they can rob others. Meaning, as I step away from God's best, John was watching people, good godly people, step away from God's best. What happens then is that the children, the neighbors, the co-workers, they don't receive either. Because you know what? Some people are living on your experience. Some people are living on your coattails. Some of you have kids that rightfully so are on your coattails, waiting to get to that place where they pass the coattails and receive for themselves. Sin robs others. Our attitude robs others. Mary, I keep asking every week, if you would play this morning, Jesus Paid It All for Us. What John was saying is that everything was already taken care of. Meaning what I experienced with Jesus in person, I'm sharing with you today. I'm offering you today. Why? Because he left the helpmate, the Holy Spirit. And today we know that we don't have to wait to experience. See, I think most of us, before it even got started, we said, well, you know, John, like, he was there with it. He got the revelation. He got the, and I don't. Well, you've got the revelation. You've got the Spirit. You've got all that God wants to give you right here today. No matter whether you're here or at home. Because John was talking to people that didn't see it. And John wasn't lying. He was saying, you can have it too. The problem is too often we're quick to let other experiences step in. So, when you look at this, All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. And I think for us today, it's probably what is going to speak to us most. Because there are good, godly people here. And I know because this week I've struggled with this. And there are some things that God is saying, why don't you experience this instead of... John was saying, why don't we experience his fullness instead of... And so, he wrote these things to those who believe, and today we speak those things to those who believe. And if you don't believe, there's a Jesus waiting for you to say, yes, I want to believe fully. I don't know where you are, what's happening in your life, but I know that watching somebody else partake in something is not like partaking in it yourself. The great thing is there's enough of our Lord that can go all the way around. And today he wants to pour out a portion on you bigger than you could ever expect, imagine, or hope for. So why don't you just bow your heads now? Seek his direction. Seek his heart. Seek his will. Ask him about those areas where you're in things that aren't leading to death, but man, they just aren't the best. And just ask yourself, is this God's best? The altars are open. If you're home, you've got an altar right there. Just drop to your knees. Lift your hands. No judgment. God, as we just take this moment to just reflect on your sacrifice on the cross, Jesus, we thank you today that through that sacrifice, through that resurrection, through the Holy Spirit coming, we get to experience. And it breaks my heart because so many of us are standing on the sidelines, witnessing experiences, but content with sitting it out. God, let us not be content. John wasn't content. Those that witnessed weren't content. Lord, if our contentment is in the world, God, I pray that you would shake that up in us. Let us not be okay with a sideline life. Let us experience the fullness of you, because I know today that these words still ring true. And so, God, let us be experiencers of your word, of your presence, of your will, of your ways. And I know I say that a lot, but my goodness, to know, and then to know with your spirit, and then to know with your experiences, talk about confidence. That brings a great deal of confidence. So God, today we honor you for the fact that we don't have to do it. We can just say yes and step into it because you have prepared the way. We trust you, we love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name today. Amen. So I know I said I wasn't going to leave you hanging. Now, if you're online, I'm sorry, I'm leaving you hanging, but normally we don't. But as you go out today, Connie and Mike are going to step out real quick. It does not taste like what I just had, and so I'm sorry. I tried many ways, but to get fresh that much banana pudding was a waste of your tithe money. So anyway, As you go out, you're going to get a banana pudding cookie. It's in a bag. It's been safely processed and put in there with gloves on. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold on to that. And when you're ready to eat it, I want you to pray about God speaking to you about your experiences, about the experiences that you're having right now, about the ones that He's preparing for you that you don't know, and that you would be willing to know, and then to know with the Spirit, and now to know with experience. And that's a big step, because it means you living it out. And so as you eat that, I want you to have a time of prayer. They'll be good for a couple of days. They'll be good for 6 to 7 days. So you have the whole week to eat those. I made sure of it. We just unwrapped them today. So I want you to take your time, and when God prompts you, I want you to open that up, and I want you to share, and I want you to speak to, and I want you to commune with God and say, okay, God, I'm ready to experience. I'm ready to partake. I'm ready to no longer be on the sideline, and I'm ready to step into. So be ready, be open, be excited. John had an excitement, and he wanted the people to have that same zeal. So God bless you all. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy your week. Thank you for just being here and being a part. God bless.